points. We're going to look at escaping the bonds of debt. A real quick survey for those of you here in Manhattan, as well as those of you in Jersey City. How many of you saw the first Pirates movie? Did you see the first one? Wow, that's a lot of you. That's probably why they did the second one. How many of you have seen the second Pirates movie now? What is it called? Dead Man's Chest? And a little less than that. But I went to see it this weekend along the way, and I was surprised that it picks up so soon after the last one ended. Do you remember the last one ended? And Captain Jack is back on his own. He's back in the Black Pearl, as you remember, and Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann, Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley on that. They're about to be married when this movie opens up. But as it opens, things go awry, like they do most of the time in pirate movies. And through a series of events, Will and Elizabeth have to delay their wedding while Captain Jack has a run-in with this new character, the evil ghost pirate Davy Jones. And this series, Got on Film, that we're in, is about discovering the meaning behind the movie. And there are some sub-meanings that are going on that I'm not going to address. There's themes in this movie like love, eternity, a price to pay for selling your soul. There's issues of family and love, especially in Will's relationship with his father. And this movie, as you probably noticed, is a little darker than the original Pirates movie. And part of that is because they're not pursuing a treasure like they were in the first movie. Instead, this movie's more focused on Captain Jack Sparrow himself, and he's on a quest for freedom. In particular, he's trying to find freedom from a debt that he owes, a debt that he owes to Davy Jones. It's the debt of his soul. And in trying to get out of this debt, you see Sparrow try to swindle and con and buy and manipulate and otherwise pay or manage this debt on his own terms. And that makes up the bulk of this movie. And I won't go into any more detail for those of you who haven't seen it, but a big issue in this movie is, how do you pay down your debt? How do you deal with debt? Well, Captain Jack's issue was debt of his soul. Our issue is a different kind of debt. We don't owe our soul to Davy Jones. Instead, we owe our soul to MasterCard, Visa, and American Express. Don't zoom in too close on these. And MasterCard, Visa, and American Express. And we all deal with debt. I mean, debt is common throughout our day. The average credit card debt in America right now is over $1.7 trillion. And that's bigger than, that's not national debt. That's just what we owe in credit card debt, $1.7 trillion. The average credit card indebtedness by young adult households in America is now 24% of their income. In other words, almost a quarter of the income is going to pay down debt. One survey found that debt was causing 14% of adults to delay marriage, 20% to delay having children, and 40% to delay buying a house. If you graduated from college this past year, the average college senior nationwide graduated with $19,000 in debt. And if you went to NYU or one of our other fine metro area schools, you're way above average in this area because you probably graduated with much more debt than $19,000. So debt is a real issue. And when the Bible talks about debt, the Bible says that debt is a source of pain. Would you agree with that? That debt is a source of pain. It's a pain for me. It's a pain for you. And fortunately, the Bible has a lot to say about how we can deal with this issue of pain. As I often do, let me remind you that the Bible is a very practical book. The Bible is not a book that's up on the shelf that's separated from our normal everyday lives. Instead, the Bible is a very practical book that can apply to all the different areas of our lives. And since we all deal with money, the Bible, fortunately, has a lot to say about money. As a matter of fact, next to love, it's the most common topic in the Bible. And so you can imagine if it talks about money, it talks about human frailty, it's going to talk about debt. And so what I want to take you through today is what the Bible says regarding debt and how we can escape the bonds of debt. But look at Proverbs 22, verse 7. We're going to use a lot of verses today from the book of Proverbs. It's a wisdom book, and it's got these wise sayings in it. So go ahead and find that in your notes. And let's begin by reading out loud Proverbs 22, verse 7. Here we go. The borrower is a servant to the lender. The borrower is a servant to the lender. And many of us are serving our credit card debt or our college debt along the way. And when we talk about debt, unsecured debt is the most common type of debt. But of course, there's all other kinds of debt that we may deal with as well. And I want to begin by telling you personally, this is a very personal message that I want to deal with today because I've had to deal with these issues of debt. In 2001, when God called Kelly and I to move from California to come here to New York City to start this church, and as you know, the journey in Manhattan started at Easter of 2002, as God was calling me to start a church, shortly thereafter, God placed another call on my life, and that was the call to be debt-free. And I had to get together all that I owed, and I had to add it all up, and I found out I was about $20,000 in debt. A large part of that was credit card debt. Another large chunk of that was where I was working on a doctorate and I had acquired some education debt. And I just had other little debts around. And so here I am in the most expensive area of the country with no money, no members, no meeting location, no church yet. And God's saying, I want you to get out of debt. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my process of getting out of debt and what God's taught me as I take you through this message. And one of the things I did is I went and talked to a pastor at the church where I was at in California. I was on staff at Saddleback Church out in California. And one of the pastors there, his name was Tom Holliday. And Tom showed me from the scripture some biblical ways for getting out of debt. And so a lot of what I'm going to share with you is what he shared with me. But before we jump into the process of getting out of debt, let's see if we are trapped in debt. If you see on the front of your notes, it reads, Danger Signs, the Bondage of Debt. So let's see if we're in bondage to debt. Here, real quickly, these are the danger signs. Number one, living on credit instead of paying cash. Living on credit instead of paying cash. Somebody in another service says, you mean there's another option besides living on credit? Yes, living on credit instead of paying cash. This is when you run out of money before you run out of month, as the case might be. And so you're constantly using your credit card. It's really easy to tell if this is a danger sign for you. You just look to see if your credit card amounts are increasing. Are they going up or are they going down? If they're going up constantly, then this is a danger sign for you. Secondly, you're delaying payment or paying the minimum due. Well, you're delaying payment or paying the minimum due. That's a trap. Also, if you're missing payments, if you're making late payments, if you find yourself under tension constantly over money, if you ever bounced one credit card while paying another credit card, then you probably have some debt. If you've bounced checks along the way, these are danger signs that you're doing this. And you know, credit cards love minimum payment due. Because even if you just put a few $100 and you pay the minimum, that means over the course of paying down that small debt, you will pay triple or even four times the amount of the original purchase. So be careful of delaying payments or paying the minimum due. That's one of the bondage. Number next, unable to tithe or save. You're unable to tithe or save. You get to the point where you can't give the 10% to God. You can't tithe. You can't save for your future because it's taking everything just to pay down the bills. And you know, a lot of you want to give more to God. A lot of you want to invest money in eternity, but you can't do it because you're strangled by this debt. And you know, this is a serious issue because God says if you're not tithing to Him, you're robbing Him. Now, you may be robbing MasterCard, Visa, or American Express, but don't be robbing God. And I'm going to talk about how important it is to put God first if you're going to break this danger trap a little bit later. Now, the next one, unable to pay taxes. You're unable to pay taxes because of your debt. Now, I realize this probably doesn't motivate you at all as far as getting debt-free, but it's one of the danger signs because Jesus said we should give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. In other words, don't be afraid to pay the taxes that you owe, but unable to pay taxes is one of the danger signs. Next, extravagant spending. I put that for you in your notes. We begin to overspend, and we're constantly pushing for more. We want to buy things that we don't need to impress people we don't like, and we do that all the time here in America. We live here in this metro area in the extravagant spending zone, and we're very image conscious, and you have to spend more so that you can look like more than you are, and it's a danger signal that you're getting in trouble, that you're getting into debt. And then this last one may surprise you, but the last danger sign of debt is that you're constantly looking for get-rich-quick ideas. Get-rich-quick ideas. Don't turn the page yet. I want to give you something to write in that small space at the bottom. If you're not in debt, get-rich-quick schemes will get you in debt. If you're already in debt, then you're ripe for this because all of us have seen the commercials. All of us have received the stuff in the mail. We've all gotten those emails where we think, well, maybe this could be my solution. But before you go into a get-rich-quick scheme, be sure to read this verse. Write this at the bottom of the page, Proverbs 21:5. It's not printed for you in your notes. Just look it up, Proverbs 21:5. It says, hasty speculation brings about poverty, among other things. So be sure and read that before you do this. You know, but we all buy into this idea that we can get rich quick, easily. As a matter of fact, there's a whole system in our metro area that's based on our desire to get rich quick. You know what it's called? It's called the lottery. The lottery. And the lottery sells this idea that, hey, you never know. You might win. You might get these millions of dollars. There's TV shows about the lottery. They put the stories of the lottery winners on the top of that. But you know, there's a word for someone who plays the lottery. It's called a loser. because 99.999999 whatever percent of the people who play the lottery lose. And studies have shown that people who play the lottery regularly are in debt more than four times, are indebted four times more than the average person. So you're four times in, you're in debt four times more by being in the lottery, if that makes sense. But we like the something for nothing mentality, the idea that there's going to be a something that's going to get us out of this bondage overnight. But it's just not true. So what does God want you to do? What does God say about getting out of debt? Well, look over in your notes, and I've listed the nine steps out of debt bondage. And these nine steps come straight from the scripture. And I'm going to walk you through this, but for every one of these, there could be four or five scriptures. I just put one or two on most of these. But the Bible is very clear that you can get out of debt. Now, the Bible doesn't promise that you can get out of debt quickly. You didn't get into debt quickly, you can't get out of debt quickly. As a matter of fact, one of the things that God wants to do while he gets you out of debt is he wants to develop your character. Because debt says that there's a character deficiency. And so because there's a character deficiency, you go into debt. So as God lowers your debt, he's got to raise your character. And character development takes time. Getting out of debt takes time. But this is God's way of getting out of debt. Now, some of you that are really sharp with math, you've already realized that there's nine steps here, and we already covered six steps. So this is really a 15-point message on today's topic. And so here's my promise. Next time, the message will be pointless. So I'll make up for what we're talking about today. But let's look at these nine steps rather quickly. Nine specific steps that you can take to get out of debt bondage. Here's number one. Commit to becoming debt-free now. If that word is off your page, write it in. Commit to becoming debt-free now. Even before you make the first financial payment, you can make the intellectual commitment. You can make a spiritual commitment. You see, debt is really a spiritual issue. When you go in debt with no reasonable time period for how you're going to pay that debt, you have put yourself in a spiritual condition that the Bible calls wickedness. Wickedness. Now, wicked may be a really good Broadway show, but it's a really bad place to live your life. Look at Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and never repay. It's a spiritual issue. So you make a spiritual commitment. The first step is to commit to becoming debt-free now. So what you do is you say, God, I'm making this commitment with you. It's not a commitment to me. It's not a commitment to your friend. It's not a commitment to your creditors. It's a commitment to God. God, I want to do your will, and I need your power. That's what willpower is, doing God's will and getting God's power. And you make that commitment, and then God brings all of his resources to play to help you to do this. So you commit to becoming debt-free now. The key on this is two words. Write this down. Delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. It will take commitment. It will take discipline to get out of debt. It will take perseverance to get out of debt. It's going to take character development to get out of debt. But most of all, it's going to take delayed gratification. Because the reason you got into this is an issue of trust. You didn't trust that God was going to provide all of your needs. And you realize that, right? God has promised to provide all of your needs. He didn't promise to provide all of your greeds. But he will help you along the way. So commit to becoming debt-free. Next, start paying God and yourself first. You start paying God and yourself first. This is the principles of tithing and saving. Right off the top, whatever money comes into your life, you give the first 10% back to God. That's what a tithe is. A tithe is not any tenth. A tithe is the first tenth of what you make. So you give the first tenth back to God. And by giving God the first tenth, you get your priorities in order. So the reason you can't delay gratification is because you've got mixed up priorities. So you've got to have proper priorities if you're going to pay down your debt. And proper priorities begins with putting God first. And that's what a tithe is. And some of you say, I'm so far in debt, how can I even begin to pay God? Well, look, you may want to not pay somewhere else, but you don't want to not pay God. You want God to be first in your life. That's what tithing is all about. And when you give God the tithe, that's where you get his power. You see, I've seen God work miracles in so many lives that I can say this over and over, that it may not make sense for you to give the tithe first, but all things that require faith don't make sense. If it made sense, it wouldn't require faith. And so you have to, by faith, give God the first fruits of what you earn. You give him the tithe. If you want to read more on that, I put some verses in your notes, Matthew 3, Proverbs 3, 1 Corinthians 16. And then one verse I printed for you from Deuteronomy chapter 14. It says, let's read this verse out loud together. Deuteronomy 14, 23. Here we go. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. So you see, when God is first in your life, then your priorities fall into order. And it's only when God is first that you can pay down this debt, because you've got to get out of that spiritual state of wickedness that we talked about back up in number one, when you borrow with no intention of repaying. Now, you also want to learn to pay yourself. Write down this little formula just below Deuteronomy 14, 23. Put down the number 10, another number 10, another number 10, and then the number 70. So you have written down 10, 10, 10, 70. This is what the Bible says is the proper allocation for your finances. Now, I don't have time to teach on this fully, so what I'm going to do in the Tuesday email that you receive this week at The Journey or your location update email, I will send you a link to a whole teaching I did on the 10, 10, 10, 70 principle, because the Bible says there's an appropriate way to spend your money. The first 10%, that goes to God. The first 10% of your money goes to God. The second 10% goes to savings. And the third 10% can go to one of two places. It'll either go to pay down your debt, or it'll go to long-term investment. So if you pay down your debt, then you can start investing for the long term or investing in capital expansion. And then you live on 70%. So you have to learn to live on less than you make, or else you'll constantly be falling back into this debt trap. So that's the principle of 10, 10, 10, 70, of start paying God and yourself first. Here's the third step, a very practical one. List all that I own and all I owe. List all I own and all I owe. You just need to get it down on paper. This was very surprising to me. When I felt God saying to me, Nelson, you need to get out of debt, I didn't know how much debt I was in. So I had to go get the credit card statements. I had to go get the bills. I had to go get the bursar's office deals, what they called at the college I went to, the financial statement from my college. I had to put all of that together and put it down on a sheet of paper. And then I had to list all that I own. What do I have in savings? I didn't know. What do I have in checking? I wasn't sure. What kind of property do I have? Do I own a car? Do I own any kind of expensive equipment? Do I have things that I need to put into that? What do I have? I need to take stock of all of this. And you have to be honest about it. Look at Proverbs 24:3. It says, a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. And that last word for sense, would you turn that S into a dollar sign? It becomes strong through good sense, through good understanding of your finances. And most of you are afraid of this. The reason you don't know what you owe is because you're afraid to add it all up. So you've got to bring that fear into the light so you can offer it to God and begin taking these steps. So once you know all of this, what steps do you need to take? Well, that's on the next page. Number four, you need to have a sale. Have a sale, S-A-L-E. This particular point is sponsored by eBay.com. And maybe you need to get rid of some stuff. Maybe you need to take some of what you own and you need to sell it. When I moved to New York, I had a 1996 Pontiac. I know it was a chick magnet car, but I felt God saying you need to sell that. Now, first of all, I didn't need it here where I live on the Upper West Side, but I could take that and use that to pay down my debt. Maybe there's some stuff that you've bought in the past, you know that you paid too much for, and you could sell it and use that to pay down your debt. I bet something came to mind while I was talking. If you are a guy, it's probably a piece of electronic equipment that you paid too much for. If you're a lady, it's probably something that you wear either on your body or on your shoulder. Okay, I'm not sure. But maybe you think of that. Maybe you need to sell that. And you say, well, I'm not going to get back all that I paid for it. Well, of course you're not going to. That's why they got you to pay that for it. So now you have to sell it as used, but you put it up for sale. Let me ask, is there something in your life that if you knew God told you to sell it, you would be resistant to sell? This is an interesting spiritual question. I'm not saying God's telling you to sell it or he's not telling you to sell it. But if he did tell you to sell it, is there something you're protecting? And you're like, God, I would sell anything that I have but this. And you hold it really close. If so, you've allowed that something to become your God. And you've made that thing into an idol. And instead of worshiping God properly, you're worshiping stuff improperly. That's why Ezekiel 20 says in your notes, get rid of all your idols. We have idols all around our apartments, all around our homes. And maybe the best thing you can do is sell those. So it breaks the bond of materialism. It also puts you on the path of paying down this debt. So get the facts about your finances and then have a sale. And then here's number five. Set up a repayment plan. Set up a repayment plan. You're never going to get out of debt accidentally. You can get into debt accidentally, but you're not going to get out of debt accidentally. You have to be intentional. You have to have a plan. Somebody has said that when you buy on credit, it's like getting drunk. The buzz comes immediately. The hangover comes afterwards on that. So you've got a deal now with the hangover of your debt. And the way you deal with that is you set up a repayment plan. Listen, it's not the size of your plan that counts. It's the starting of your plan that counts. And so even if you can only pay $25 a month or $50 a month, just starting the plan will help you pay it down. And you've got to be intentional about this. Now, if you're going to set up a repayment plan, you may have to get some help. You may have to go to an outside source because there's all kinds of great plans that are out there. The plan that I used when I was paying down my debt is a plan called Pay Off Your Smallest Debt First. So when I listed all that I owed, I took the smallest debt and I began to pay it down rather aggressively. Now, I paid the minimum on all the other debts just to keep the creditors off my back, but I paid down aggressively that small debt. Once I struck the small debt off, I took the money that I was paying off on that amount, added it to my next highest payment, and then began to work on that. And I began to chip it away, just chip away at that debt. Another payment plan that's out there is to pay off the debt that makes you the maddest. Do you ever get a bill and you just get upset when you get the bill? Like, I can't believe I've got a bill on that one. So you pay that one down first so that you can free up all this emotional energy to go to work on your other debts. There's a plan out there called the envelope plan, which is where you put all of your credit cards in one envelope and you put cash in the other envelope and you only spend out of the cash envelope. And when you run out of money in the envelope, you stop spending on that. I'm going to put some resources in this email I was telling you about, either in This Week at the Journey or your location update email, that you can use. We've got a ton of free resources about plans for repayment on our website. I'll send you the link to that as well. And then there's some great books out there like Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey and some others that will help you. And then if you're neck deep in this and you're about to drown, you may have to go after a financial counselor. And if you're interested in that, you can send me an email. My email every week is at the beginning of the teaching notes. Just send me an email and say, send me information on this financial counselor, and I'll send you some Christian financial counselors that can help you if you need to go beyond just what the books or what the tools can help you. But listen to this. Debt is like a financial cancer. Debt is like a financial cancer. If you found out today that you had cancer in your body, maybe skin cancer or lung cancer or whatever, you wouldn't wait to schedule an appointment with the specialist. You would begin to read up on that type of cancer. You would begin to explore treatments. You would set doctor's appointments. You would be aggressive to deal with the physical cancer. Debt's like that. You should treat debt like a financial cancer and do all that you can to deal with it, to cut it out, to eradicate it, and to erase it. And to do that, you've got to set up a good repayment plan. Then once you have your plan, here's a big challenging step, number six. Decide to do it in half the time. Decide to do it in half the time. I know you're thinking, look, paying off my debt's impossible in the first place. Now it's really impossible. But you see, I don't want you to think just from a human standpoint anymore because debt is a spiritual issue. Instead, I want you to see debt from God's perspective. And God doesn't want you to remain in debt. God wants you to be free. And so when you decide to honor him by taking these first five steps that we've talked about, he gives you his power. And his power is not explainable through human words, through human understanding. Look at what Luke 18:27 says. Jesus is talking in this verse. He says, "What is impossible from a human perspective is possible with God." So decide to do it in half the time. And then number seven, add no new debt. Don't add any new debt as you're paying off your old debt. If you do, it's just a revolving door. Now, look at the memory verse at the bottom of your page before you turn over on your sheet. This is the memory verse I chose for this message, and if you're not familiar with the memory verse process, every week back on the resource table, we give you the memory verse cards, and we're big on memorizing scripture, and this is part of character development as well. And so I chose this verse because I thought it would help you become debt-free. And so here's what I want you to do. In addition to committing this verse to memory, I want you to go back, and I want you to pick up one memory verse card for every credit card that you have. So maybe you have two credit cards, and you'll need two memory verse cards. And then what I want you to do is take each memory verse card and paste it on the back of your credit card. And that way when you go to swipe it, it won't swipe. Instead, you can look at it and say, don't be obsessed. Well, let's read this verse out loud together. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be satisfied with what you have. Wouldn't that be a good verse to put on the back of your credit cards? Now, here's another thing you can do with this card. You can take one of these cards for every one of your credit cards, pull your credit card out of your wallet or your purse, and replace it with this card. And then take all of your credit cards, put them in a microwavable safe dish, and put it in your microwave for 3 minutes. And that'll help solve your adding no new debt. So if you put your card in a microwave, mail that to me. I'd love to have that for my archives along the way. But just don't add any new debt. On the back, step number 8. Share my plan with my creditors. Share my plan with my creditors. Now, your creditors, for some of you, they're people you try to hide from. If you've been hiding from your creditors, you need to talk to your creditors because nothing makes them madder than when you ignore them. So you simply tell them, look, I know you're saying I need to pay $500 a month, but I don't have $500 a month, but I can pay $250 a month. Or I can pay $100 a month or $25 a month. Most creditors are more interested in getting your money than they are in seeing you go bankrupt. Because if you go bankrupt, they don't get their money and you have this whole stain on your credit history and you'll never be able to get back into debt with them again. So what you say is you just honestly say, look, here's my plan. I can pay this much on this time period. Will you work with me? So if you've been avoiding your creditors, that's one of the things you need to do. If you're on good terms with your creditors, but you owe a lot, then talk to your creditors about lowering your interest rate. Did you know that most credit card companies, if you just call the 800 number on the back of your credit card, give them your account and ask for a lower rate, they will give it to you. That will help if you go do a little research. Do a research and find out what other credit card companies are offering. Maybe the lowest credit card rate that you can find out there is 11%. You might find one that's even lower. And call your credit card and say, look, I've been a good customer of you for so long, and I've paid, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to you. I want to ask you for a lower rate. You know, the person on the phone may not be able to give that to you, but if you ask for their supervisor or the supervisor's supervisor, if you are diligent about this, I've heard people saving thousands of dollars because they got their interest rate lowered. And if you're following this biblical process that we're laying out, I have every reason to believe that God's going to help you out in this area. And the reason I can say that is because of Proverbs 16:7. Look at what it says. When your ways please the Lord, that's number one, you got to make sure you're pleasing the Lord following this process, He will make your enemies into friends. Isn't that a great promise? He will make your enemies into friends. That's the eighth step. Here's the last one, number 9. Stick to it and trust God. Stick to it and trust God. Getting out of debt's not easy. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take effort. It's going to take sacrifice. But these principles do work. If you work these principles, they will work for you. Because God is backing them up. And God's not going to get you out of debt quickly, but He will get you out of debt. And along the way, you will get more than if you just worked on it by yourself. You can get out of debt by yourself, but unless you develop your character, you're going to get back into debt. Because you've got to become a different person than you are now to stay debt-free for the rest of your life. That means you have to ask for God's strength. You say, God, I'm going to trust you in this area. I'm going to trust you from this day forward. I'm not going to rely on easy credit. I'm going to rely on an available God. Galatians 6:9 says, so don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap. Maybe you want to underline that phrase, will reap. You will, if you do this, you will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. When God is working on you as you work down your debt. I believe you can do this. You know, there's a lot of debt represented in this room and in the room at Jersey City. I mean, I just know it's just the world we live in. There's just a lot of debt here. Think for just a moment, project forward a few years, and imagine what your life would be like if you were totally debt-free. This spurred me on. You know, I told you I was $20,000 in debt. I began to put my plan together at the end of 2001. We started this church in 2002. I began to tithe and give more than I'd ever given. I began to, you know, make less than I'd ever made. I began to pay more in rent than I'd ever paid. All these factors worked together, but God worked in that. And my plan was a five-year plan. I thought, God, if at December 2001, if I could be debt-free by December 2006, that was my plan. But God added His will and His power to my plan, and in November of 2004, Kelly and I became debt-free. My five-year plan was cut down to a three-year plan by God. This is God's power in this area. And I'm telling you, God will bring this to bear in your life. And since then, I've remained totally debt-free. I have zero credit card debt today. I have zero outstanding education debt today. I have no debt. And with God's help, I plan to go into no more debt except maybe for a mortgage debt, which I classify as a different kind of secured debt. But the freedom of being debt-free is amazing. I mean, if God taps me on the shoulder and He says, Nelson, I need you to go on a 2 or 3 week mission trip to some country where you can share the gospel or you can serve alongside local churches, I can go because I don't have this debt. If God prompts me and says, give extra money to some cause that you believe in, whether it's to the Journey Church or whether it's through some other cause, I can do that because I'm debt-free. Project forward and think about what it means to be free. Paul said, I'm free to do ministry because I'm bound by no man. And that's a great place to be, to not be bound in the financial area so that you're free, serving one God with God being God's servant, not a servant to a credit card company. You see, I believe you can do this. In order to do it, I think you need to make two very vital commitments as we wrap up today. The first commitment is a commitment to follow God's financial plan. To follow God's financial plan. I want to ask you to take action today on this first commitment. Would you look on the back of your connection card? There are some next steps printed there for you. Go ahead and find it. The first next step is to memorize Hebrews 13:5. That's the memory verse that we were having fun with earlier that you're going to get and tape on the back of your credit card or replace in your wallet. Commit that to memory. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be satisfied with what you have. So make that step. Everybody can do that. Secondly, follow these biblical guidelines that I've laid out today and set a date to be debt-free. So set a date. Maybe it's 4 years in the future. You say by 2010. Maybe it's 6 years, 2012. Some of you might be able to do it in 2 years. I don't know what your debt is, but set a date, a faith statement. Write that down, and we'll pray with you this week about that date. And you know, several months ago, almost 2 years ago now, I did our first debt-free workshop at The Journey. And I think we had 30 people show up, and there was about $500,000 worth of debt in that room. And over the last 2 years, it's just been amazing as I've heard story after story of how people in our church have become debt-free. About a year ago, we did a debt-free workshop with about 80 people, and there was over $1 million worth of debt in that room. And even in the year since we've done it, I've gotten emails and testimonies of people who have become debt-free. You see, it's an act of faith to write that down. It gets you started. And then make the decision to commit your financial life to God and begin living it out by giving a full tithe regularly. You see, you've got to stop robbing God. You've got to give the full tithe. If you check that, I'll send you information on a process we have called automatic giving so that you can ensure that you're honoring God with your finances. Then there's some other next steps there that you may need to take as well. But make the commitment, first of all, to commit your financial life to God. And then here's the second commitment that you need to make, and it's even more important than the first one. And that is to follow God's plan for all of your life. To say, God, I'm going to follow you in my financial life, but I'm also going to follow you in all of my life. And this is for those of you who have never had your debt sin canceled. You see, there's two types of debt that we all have. We have financial debt. That's what we've talked about today. But we also have a sin debt because we've all sinned. We've all gone our own way. And so we have to not only pay down our financial debt, we have to get this debt sin, the sinful debt canceled. And that's what Colossians 2:14 is all about. Back in your message notes, the last verse in your outline, Colossians 2:14, it says, we owed a debt. What kind of debt? A sin debt. We owed a debt because we broke God's laws. He canceled the debt, which listed all the rules we failed to follow. He took away that record with its rules and nailed it to a cross. You see, that's what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. That's why He died. He was paying the penalty. He was paying the penalty, the debt of my sin and your sins. So will you commit your financial life to God? Then if you've never done so, today will you turn your whole life over to God as well and have your sin debt totally erased? Let's bow our heads and pray together. As we pray, if you've never turned your life over to Jesus Christ, maybe you'll just say this right now. Jesus, I trust you for the forgiveness that I need. I thank you for paying the debt for my sins. Jesus, thank you for assuming that debt on the cross, wiping it out by your grace. I want to ask you to forgive me. Today, I want to become a follower of you. And so help me to live for you for this day forward. And then all of us, we can commit our financial life to God. Some of you, I realize, are here and you're no doubt very discouraged about your finances. This hasn't been an easy message to hear, but I want you to know that there's hope. That which is impossible from a human perspective is possible with God.